Phoenix this week launched its six-month e-scooter pilot program in a part of downtown. Over that time, up to 300 of the scooters will be allowed in the area. At the end of 6 months, the city will decide to either extend the pilot, make it permanent, or let it end. Meanwhile, a new analysis of potential micromobility, like bike share and e-scooters, finds Phoenix in the top 25 of big American cities. The transportation data firm INRIX did the review, which looked at the number of car trips in a city and how long they were, breaking them down by 0 to 1 miles, 1 to 2 miles, and 2 to 3 miles. It then looked at what percentage of those trips could potentially be taken by micromobility devices in each city. Our co-host Mark Brody talked more about this with Trevor Reed, a transportation analyst with INRIX.
Were there any things in common that the top cities specifically in the U.S. had? I'm just looking at the top five of Honolulu, New Orleans, Nashville, Chicago, and Charlotte. On the surface, it doesn't necessarily seem like those cities all have a ton in common. But for this purpose, did you find some commonalities there?
Yeah. So Honolulu and New Orleans, a lot of those, they're fairly dense cities. You know, Honolulu is restricted by the water. New Orleans is also restricted by the water in a lot of places. And it's an older city. And similarly, Chicago is an older city as well. And as population density increases, there's typically a higher number of short distance trips, just because it's easier. You know, if you're in a dense area, there's probably, you know, 2 or 3 grocery stores within a couple minutes. Whereas if you're in a real spread out area, you have to drive further. So denser cities, more short distance trips typically.
I guess it's not surprising that density would be a key factor here, and the fact that more people living in a downtown area where there's also shops, restaurants, grocery stores, things that they need to get to that aren't super far away.
Yeah, exactly. But even in more diffuse cities like Phoenix or down in Dallas-Fort Worth area, there's still a very high proportion of, you know, short distance trips. So it's not only the dense cities that have a large potential for micromobility, it's just that they have higher potential, I would say.
How are these various cities handling this issue? Because it's obviously been a contentious one in a lot of places, including here in Phoenix. So have you found any sort of common ways that cities are trying to roll these out or regulate these types of micromobility devices?
Yeah, so initially, the micromobility providers, they kind of tried the Lyft-Uber model, where they dumped the scooters with little consultation with the cities and little regulation. You know, the idea being that they would build up a lot of popular support for them, and then they would negotiate with cities. And that approach had varied success. Right now, there's been a lot more collaboration, and there's a lot more regulation at the city level, and they're being... Both, you know, the providers and the cities are being a lot more conscientious as to how they implement micromobility.
When you look at the potential for scooters, bikes, that sort of thing, how important is that relationship between the companies that own the devices and the cities in which they're trying to rent them out to realizing that potential?
Oh, it's absolutely critical because, you know, the biggest impediment right now to wider adoption is the lack of safe facilities. So I know Phoenix is very car dependent, and there's a lot of places where there's sidewalks, you know, they don't run between the blocks, and there's, you know, a limited bike network or protected cycle network. And so if the cities aren't able to work with the providers to create that safe infrastructure, the likelihood of it really taking off at the entire city scale is very unlikely.
So let me ask you specifically about Phoenix, which was ranked 23rd out of 25 in your analysis. And you broke this down by trips of 0 to 1 mile, 1 to 2 miles, 2 to 3 miles. And what you found is that in that first category, that 0 to 1 mile, there's a 17% potential for Phoenix and an overall 43%, which was in the top 25 of American cities, which I think a lot of people would find kind of surprising, given, as we talked about earlier, the importance of density to these overall rankings.
Yeah, so we were looking at the large metro areas in the U.S., so typically, you know, more than 250,000, which filters out quite a few of those smaller cities. And Phoenix, it has, in the top 25, it has, you know, less than average number of trips in that 0 to 1 mile range. And that's because it's not a very dense city. It's a sprawling city, but, you know, it's flat and there's little rain and there's, you know, certainly space to implement this infrastructure. So there's still massive potential for Phoenix to implement micromobility.
Are you finding that for these cities which have this kind of potential, that cities and their maybe public works departments are looking into developing some kind of infrastructure? You mentioned bike infrastructure in a place like Phoenix. Are cities looking at specific other type of micromobility infrastructure in those cities to try to boost some of that potential also?
Yeah, and one of the real issues that has emerged is a lack of storage facilities. So I'm sure, in the newspaper you'll see photos of the scooters being left, in trees and sidewalks and just kind of scattered all around. And what cities are really being aggressive now is creating designated parking areas. So taking one space of on-street parking, you can store probably 20 to 30 scooters in that. And so if you were just to create dedicated facilities for storage throughout the city, it would really reduce a lot of conflict.
How excited are cities to have this kind of potential? Like, is this something that cities are wanting, or is it something they're kind of looking at warily to see maybe how it's going to all play out?
I think it's a really exciting opportunity because it's very low cost, very high coverage, and it's very affordable and accessible. So in Seattle, part of the condition for the bike share companies to operate is they have to spread bikes in lower income neighborhoods and throughout the city. And it's a very cost-effective way to reach populations that it's very difficult to provide public transit services for. And as micromobility is integrated to a higher degree, its benefits will only increase.
All right, that's Trevor Reed, a transportation analyst with INRIX. Trevor, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.